You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
I'll start with reading 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So that's the reading. The scripture says, I just read these words, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a very powerful and important statement. We often, as Christians, we say, I am saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, saved by what happened on Good Friday, by his sacrifice, by his suffering, by his stripes, we were healed, redeemed. But how many of us would have said, I am saved by the resurrection of Jesus. But you see, Bible, that's exactly what the Bible, the scripture in this place says. Saved by the resurrection. Of course, we understand it was the blood that was the price paid for our sins. We were declared righteous, redeemed, washed by the blood. But the Bible says the final enemy is death. And it was the resurrection of Jesus that dealt with this final enemy. When he rose from the dead, he opened the gates of hell, of eternity for all of us. So today, because it's Resurrection Sunday, we will explore this resurrection bit. Saved by the resurrection. You have heard on Friday, if you were here, saved by his death. Today is the second part, by his resurrection. Why the Bible says that we are saved by his resurrection. So we will explore firstly the resurrection stories in the Old Testament, New Testament, and then the meaning of it, how it applies to us. So firstly, I'll ask you, click the next slide, please, for me. Thank you. Yeah. It worked before the service, so I don't know. So, if I ask you, how many resurrection stories are there in the Old Testament? If you, top of your head, could you tell me? Any number?
One.
Okay, actually there's more than one, actually three. All right. So there are three resurrection stories in the Old Testament that we know of. The first person, the first person ever raised from the dead in the Bible is a boy, a son of a widow in the city of Zarephath. So it is recorded in, as you see, 1 Kings 17 to 22. It was by the prophet Elijah who was sent to this city, to this widow, when there was no rain in Israel, because he prayed for no rain. And God said, okay, your provisions will be in the city. So he went there, and while he was there, the boy, the son of this woman, died, and Elijah prayed for him, and he was risen. The very interesting fact about this resurrection story is that this is in a country of, region of Sidon. So not in Israel. The boy was son of Sidonian widow. And so Sidonians are Phoenicians. They are the Canaanites, of Canaanite origins. And they're people who are great worshippers of all kinds of idols and gods, but not God of Israel. Predominantly they worship Baal. If you know Baal worship. And Jezebel, if you are familiar with Bible stories, Jezebel is infamous queen of Sidonites. So they were kind of really, in the biblical point of view, very ungodly people. Very evil, very bad, you know. But the first resurrection ever recorded in the Bible is boy from this nation. Wow. Why? There's a message in it. Something. The resurrection of a heathen. First ever. Okay? So remember that. Second story of the resurrection is 2 Kings. It is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37. It's the resurrection of the boy of a Shunammite woman, this time actually in Israel. And it was in the Elisha story. Elisha is the follower of disciple of Elijah. And similar like his predecessor, Elisha had a B&B, bed and breakfast arrangements with this woman. And while he was there, this boy of this woman died. And in a similar way, he went, prayed, and the boy was risen. So that's the second resurrection, a Jewish boy for change. And the third story of resurrection in the Old Testament is kind of a weird one, quite extraordinary. So it was in the times when Elisha died, he was buried, and must be sometime after his death, because it says there were only bones left of his body. And somebody died, and people were carrying the dead body of a man. But the invaders, some enemies were coming in, so they didn't have time for a proper funeral, so they threw the body in the cave where these bones of Elisha were, and as soon as the body touched the bones of the prophet, the dead man rose to his feet, and voila, funeral wasn't happening. Quite extraordinary, you know? So, that's kind of the double portion of anointing that Elisha asked from God when Elijah was taken to heaven worked even after his death, you know, through his bones, which is quite extraordinary. So, three resurrections in the Old Testament. Now you know. Okay. So, what about New Testament? How many resurrection stories in the New Testament? Well, it's more complicated. It's more complex. But we'll start for a bit more strategic way. So, firstly, the resurrection. There are resurrections mentioned in the Gospels. Those ones that are actually performed by Jesus Christ himself. And you probably would be able to mention all of them. If I ask you any risen people from by Jesus? Yeah, okay, Lazarus right away. Yeah, so the first one is, the first one is in Mark chapter 5, 41, daughter of Jairus, 12 years old girl that died, and Jesus was called, and his, you know, usual business, Talitha Kumi or Talitha Kum. In Aramaic, girls raise up, and she was raised, and was amazing, of course. The second story, also you would know, the Jesus was passing by with his disciples through the city of Nain, and there was a funeral procession, a widow again bearing his son, and Jesus was just passing by, and Jesus wasn't really that good at attending funerals. Every time he turned up at a funeral, it was cancelled. He touched the dead body and the young man was raised, you know. As simple as that. Jesus was much better at attending weddings. When he attended a wedding, it lasted much longer. So, yeah. And the third resurrection story, of course, Lazarus, right away, you mentioned that it's John 11. So, and we know the story, you know, Lazarus died and Jesus wasn't there. He called him, he raised him. The most interesting part about this resurrection is that this is the only resurrection that Jesus actually wasn't there right away, but it was like 4 days later. All the other resurrections, people were dead for literally kind of hours, or if not just minutes in a way. But Lazarus, 4 days. So it's really extraordinary, special case. So that's three resurrections in the Old Testament and three more in the Gospels. So far, six. Okay? And numbers are important in the Bible. If you are not mathematicians, well, deal with it, because God loves numbers. He even wrote a book about them. You know, so three in the Old Testament, three in the Gospels, that's six together, 3 + 3, you still would probably understand maths in this simple manner. Then the seventh one comes, resurrection number 7, which is, 7 is godly number again, you know. Creation, 6 days, 7 days, 7 is completion. So something completion, something about completeness was happening on the seventh resurrection in the Bible. What was it? Here we go. The story is in Matthew 27. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." So we are talking about Good Friday stuff. Eh? "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Extraordinary. Number 7 in the Bible. Seventh resurrection. Okay, something important is happening on number 7. So if you read Revelations or whatever, number 7 is a great significance. We don't know how many people were raised. It just says many. Whatever that means, you know. We don't know who they were. It just says saints. We don't know what it means that the graves were open on Friday, but nobody saw them until Sunday. What they were doing in the meantime, the graves were open, they were lying down and blinking, or, you know. What? It's kind of extraordinary story. What they were doing in the meantime, and what happened to them afterwards. Did they live earthly lives and then eventually died again, or that doesn't make sense, you know? Did they go to heaven, or what, you know? It's quite, we have probably more questions as when we read this story in Matthew, and no other gospel mentioned this, only Matthew. So what should we do with this seventh resurrection in the Bible? So let's try to figure it out, okay? I want to suggest that this seventh resurrection has a biblically meaningful significance for us as well. Has powerful symbolism in it. Number 7 often brings a symbol of completeness in the Bible. And I believe this is one of those. Again, 3 and 3, you know. Now, even number 3 is significant, of course. We understand, God is a Trinity. Number 3 in Bible means wholeness, harmony. God is 3 in 1, in harmony, whole. There is no separation in him. So 3 in Old, 3 in Gospels, and then 7. All these numbers are not coincidence, I believe. So when Jesus died, everything that was needed for our salvation, for our redemption, for our justification, has been confirmed by Jesus. It is finished, done. As he breathed his last, done, dealt with. But, next slide, please. Yeah. Okay. When Jesus died, the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, but not seen right away. And I think that's the little clue in here. The graves were open, but they appeared only on Sunday, because these people are part of the seventh resurrection. So let me ask you another question. What happened to Jesus or with him after he died? When he was put in the grave, what was he doing? You're like, was he just, you know, waiting until Sunday comes? No, you know. He was doing something. I'll bring to your attention, next slide, please. Yeah, this seems okay. Jesus, few moments, minutes before his death, when he was on the cross with two thieves on each side, this is what he said to one of these guys on the cross. He said, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Or he might have said, "Truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." I've wrote it twice because, as you know, originally the Bible, when it was written, there was no punctuation, no commas, no dots, no nothing. There's just one text, no sentences, even separation of sentences. It was just one line of text. Long line, you know, okay? So only interpreters, theologians, and people who have nothing else to do put the so that they have something to argue about, put those commas, oh, it should be here or there, and we can argue until Jesus comes. We just don't know. But we have two options, and that one comma, one simple comma makes a big difference. Because Jesus is saying to the thief, I'm telling you, one day you will be with me in paradise. Or was he saying, I'm telling you, today you will be with me in paradise. So that's it. Quite a difference. Well, I mean, final destination is important, you know, and make sure that you all get there, no matter when, okay? That doesn't really matter after all, but there is still some significance in this for Jesus saying this on the cross in the moments of his death. Because the possibility is that he was saying, I'm going to the paradise, like, in no time, today, within today. So when Jesus died, you know, there are other scriptures that can give us insight what was happening to Jesus and all the others then. We'll get to that. To Jesus after he died. So when Jesus died, he breathed his last. And as every other human being, when we die, we enter the realm of the death. We are not here anymore. The body is there, but who is us that human spirit is somewhere else. Jesus was fully human as well. He died and his spirit went somewhere. Would you agree? I mean, you know. Whatever you call it, he went to the realm of the dead, that place, if you call it a place. And church fathers expressed it in Apostles' Creed, you know. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose from the dead. That was how church fathers told us, you know, taught us what was happening to Jesus after his death. Our scripture today, 1 Peter 3:18, our Bible reading that I read in the beginning was, he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. And I don't think it means he went to Jerusalem prison or some other prison. It was not physical building. It means something spiritual prison. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. So it refers to the people who died a long time ago. People who were disobedient, sinners from the past. He went, after he died, he went and preached or showed or proclaimed something to those who were kept in spiritual prison. We will not go into details, but the Bible seems to tell us that between Jesus' death and his resurrection, he entered the realm of death, Hades, hell, whatever you call it, and made announcements. It is finished. I have conquered the death. I have the keys of hell. I have made, there's even pictures that Jesus is taking the keys from the devil. You do not have the power anymore. You know, there are some artists, you know, symbolically draw some lovely pictures of Jesus taking the keys and power over all realms, including realm of death. There is another scripture which is quite powerful and interesting. Yes, thank you. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 might be talking about the same event of Jesus descending into the lower parts of the earth. But it seems to indicate about a very interesting fact in addition to just Jesus walking into for a visit, you know. It says in the scripture, when he, means Jesus, ascended on high, he took many captives, prisoners, and gave gifts to his people. But then Paul kind of goes back and says, oh, what does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. So what have we heard so far? Jesus said on the cross, today I will be with you in paradise, whether meaning the same very day or at least one of the options. Then the Bible says that Jesus went to proclaim to the imprisoned spirits in some place that we call hell or Hades or whatever we call it. And then Bible says also, it indicates that as he ascended, he took captives or prisoners, people who were kept in that realm, He took them with him. So where are we going with all of this? Again, I remind you, 6 resurrections in the Bible prior to this event, and then number 7 comes in. 7, godly number of completeness. God completed the creation, and then something new started. 7 resurrections means something new is starting with Jesus is rising from the dead. A new creation is coming, and a new peace and you know, kingdom of peace is coming by this. And interesting, again, in Hebrew, number 7, it's Sheva, sounds similar like 7, Sheva. So if you take the letters of this Sheva, it's spelled the same as, say, consonants is the word for full or complete. So fullness, completeness, 7, the same word, same numbers, same letters. When Jesus died on the cross and said, it's finished, it's complete, you know, at that time of his death, his entrance into the realm of the dead, they all knew it's done. The graves of the saints were broken, split, the earthquake happened. And even that is not just a physical thing, I believe, because the Bible mentions quite a few times in the Old Testament especially that heaven and the earth, God said, the heaven and the earth will be my witnesses. The heaven and the earth, when Jesus was dying on the cross, the heaven and the earth were witnessing. The heaven was covered in darkness and the earth was shaking. They were witnessing to something amazing, powerful. So the earthquake, I believe, is a spiritual, meaningful thing. Physical manifestation, what was happening in the spiritual. The graves were split, but people were not raised yet. It was the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday morning that made the resurrection of all them and us available and possible. And that's where we come in. We are all part of this 7th resurrection, complete resurrection. Apostle Paul speaks that language often in Ephesians and elsewhere. You know, we died with Jesus and we are risen with him and we are seated in heavenly places. That's his language. So we are still here, but we are like risen already. We don't fear that. That means nothing. You know, there's no sting, there's no power in death. There was an earthquake on Friday as Jesus was dying, and then on Sunday, as he was risen, it says there was a mighty earthquake. The earth was speaking again, witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus. And some of the risen saints came to Jerusalem because they followed Jesus, I believe. Yeah? They went along with him, and they gave public testimony. Yes, we are all here, and he is also here, but he's who knows where. He's everywhere, you know. He's with his disciples in Galilee, then dead and fishing, and who, you know. But they appeared, and then I believe they were gone, because it doesn't say in the Bible they were kept on appearing for some period. They just said they appeared on Sunday after that, and proclaimed God's salvation. Also, I find it kind of quite symbolic, you know, when Bible says, Apostle Paul uses the language, when we are baptized, the baptism symbolizes we are buried with Christ. We are put in the grave. Baptism means me, my sins, my life, everything is buried with Christ. You go into the water. But you see, when you are baptized, nobody wants to stay under that water for too long. You are more than happy to go up as soon as possible, okay? See, of course we believe in death of Jesus Christ, we are saved by his death, but the resurrection, we gasp for that. I'm a new creation. I was buried with him, but I can't wait to see him face to face through the resurrection. We are saved by death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the complete whole salvation. Being buried with Jesus, dying to our sins, and risen with him. And I really could and should stop here, but But what followed after his resurrection? What followed in Jerusalem? What happened then? We have Acts of Apostles and Epistles and Revelation, and it would be good series of teachings actually. But then in Jerusalem, the church happened. Okay, the church happened. The church was formed, and many got baptized, and then even disciples of Jesus, the followers, Christians, did some resurrections. And guess how many resurrections happened in or are described or in the Acts of the Apostles? Would you guess? I would suggest three. Yeah, three in the Old, three in the Gospels, and three in the Acts. Okay, the first one is Tabitha or Dorcas. It was in Acts chapter 9, 36. That was a woman that was, you know, very good with her hand stitch work and stuff. When she died, they called Apostle Peter. Oh, she's such a beautiful gift to us. And she died. And Peter prayed. She was raised. The second one was, can you click, please? When Paul, he was just like me. He preached long sermons. The guy was sitting in a window, fell asleep, and fell down and died because it was on the second floor. We are lucky here. We're safe. We can preach as long as we want, and nobody dies. Paul ran down and raised the boy up because then people wouldn't listen to his sermons anymore, you know. So the second resurrection. But I believe I would suggest the third one. It's the next slide, please. Thank you. In Acts chapter 14, it says that when Paul is ministering in the city of Lystra, people firstly want to worship them, and then they hated them, so they brought him out of the city, and they stoned him and stoned Apostle Paul to death. And they left him because he was dead outside of the city. Good, he's dealt with, problem solved. But then the Christian disciples of Paul came to him, prayed for him, and he was brought back to life. I believe that the third resurrection. So three in the Old, three in the Gospels, three in the Acts. Do you see the pattern here? You know, three, completeness, wholeness, fullness, everything is in there. And then I will not go there, but if you go to Revelation, how many resurrections in Revelation, I guess? Well, next sermon. All right. Next slide, please. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14, it says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who had fallen asleep in him." We are raised with him. We are buried with him. We are born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, people don't use that language, but that's exactly what the Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 3. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, being born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." See, do we hear that? We are born again because he is risen. That's a new birth, his resurrection, because with him we are all raised into a new life. And another slide, please. Yeah, those familiar with the Apostles' Creed, again, confession of faith that unites believers of Jesus worldwide, would know that in the third article of that creed, we declared, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." You see, even the belief in the resurrection is the foundational Christian doctrine, foundational stone on which the Christian church confesses and believes in God. So, resurrection of Jesus Christ sealed our salvation, unlocked our prison, our grave, and took the chains away and let the captives free, all of us. So, that's the final slide, please. Yeah. So, we are born again. We are born again into a living hope through his resurrection. We are saved by his death and by his resurrection. So let's praise him all the time, always. For thank you, Lord, for dying for me and rising, being risen, and me taking you as a prisoner that I was in the chain and whatever. I belong to hell. But you went there, took me out of that, and gave me new life. And this is the message of Easter. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.